Father, thank you for wonderful fellowship today, and that we can get into your word. And also, Father, thank you for the wonderful election where we got a godly man that will be our champion in the government instead of our enemy. And Father, just enable him to do great things. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody.
It's, good morning.
It's, so, can you hear us, Avis?
Good morning.
I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Okay. Can't get you on my computer.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Today we're going to be teaching on censorship and how censorship is wrong. It's biblically, it's evil. And we have this wonderful thing in America called the Constitution. And when they tried to ratify the Constitution, the state said, no, that's not good enough. Well, there was one state that wanted to ratify it. I think it was Delaware. But there was another state, New York, and some of the other states did not want to ratify it because they said, we don't have enough guarantees that our freedoms won't be infringed upon. So they came up with what's called the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments.
Right here.
Yeah, we have it right here in our room here. Here you go. You see that? You probably can't read it. But anyway, we got a piece of paper. It's got it. We keep it in our family room all the time. It's right on the wall. And the first one is, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. You know, we always think the First Amendment's just free speech. And they want to take away our free speech. The Democrat Party and a lot of the networks like CNN, MSNBC, and are all the last year have been openly advocating to take away our freedom of speech. But if you take away the freedom of speech, what goes with it is your freedom of religion. They want to take away our ability to worship the one true God. See, our ancestors escaped Europe because European countries would establish a crooked church to be the one and only true church, and all the others were fake churches. And they had laws in England that said you cannot deny the Trinity. They had laws like that. And so our founding fathers, or our ancestors that came over from Europe in the 1600s and 1700s, they wanted to be able to worship God in the way they thought was right. I'm going to continue here. No.
So the first one is respecting an establishment of religion.
And
it's the first part of it.
Second part is, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The government has no right to prohibit us from exercising our religion. Unless our religion is we want to kill people and do human sacrifice, then obviously that's illegal. But any religion that does that is a devil spirit religion. Next part, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Now it's interesting, when this was written in the 1700s, the press, well, first of all, they didn't have TV or radio. There was no TV, no radio, no, there was no networks. There were newspapers, but like Ben Franklin or other people could just simply start a newspaper. If all you had to do is buy a printing press, have a few typesetting skills, and you could make a newspaper, you could make a newsletter. Who's the guy that did that booklet, Common Sense?
Thomas Paine.
That's it. I mean, he did a booklet called Common Sense. And he became, because he printed it up, he was the press. Or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. See, they want to take these rights away from us. And the first step is censorship. And the Second Amendment puts teeth in the First Amendment. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall is absolute. The government has no power supposedly to infringe our Second Amendment rights or our First Amendment rights. But they are openly trying to whittle away at it time after time. I want to share something. Donald Trump has already done more in the few days. It hasn't even been a full week since the election. He's already done more things for us in the few days since he was elected than most presidents do in 4 years. So I want to share something here. The screen will flicker and go a little weird.
If we don't have free speech, then we just don't have a free country. It's as simple as that. If this most fundamental right is allowed to perish, then the rest of our rights and liberties will topple. Just like dominoes, one by one, they'll go down. That's why today I'm announcing my plan to shatter the left-wing censorship regime and to reclaim the right to free speech for all Americans. And reclaim is a very important word in this case because they've taken it away. In recent weeks, bombshell reports have confirmed that a sinister group of deep state bureaucrats, Silicon Valley tyrants, left-wing activists, and depraved corporate news media have been conspiring to manipulate and silence the American people. They have collaborated to suppress vital information on everything from elections to public health. The censorship cartel must be dismantled and destroyed, and it must happen immediately. And here's my plan. First, within hours of my inauguration, I will sign an executive order banning any federal department or agency from colluding with any organization, business, or person to censor, limit, categorize, or impede the lawful speech of American citizens. I will then ban federal money from being used to label domestic speech as mis or disinformation. And I will begin the process of identifying and firing every federal bureaucrat who has engaged in domestic censorship, directly or indirectly, whether they are the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health, Human Services, the FBI, the DOJ, no matter who they are. Second, I will order the Department of Justice to investigate all parties involved in the new online censorship regime, which is absolutely destructive and terrible, and to aggressively prosecute any and all crimes identified. These include possible violations of federal civil rights law, campaign finance laws, federal election law, securities law and antitrust laws, the Hatch Act, and a host of other potential criminal, civil, regulatory,
holy
and constitutional
cow.
Offenses.
The hammer's coming down!
To assist in these efforts, I am urging House Republicans to immediately send preservation letters, and we have to do this right now, to the Biden administration, the Biden campaign, and every Silicon Valley tech giant, ordering them not to destroy evidence of censorship. Third, upon my inauguration as president, I will ask Congress to send a bill to my desk revising Section 230 to get big online platforms out of censorship business. From now on, digital platforms should only qualify for immunity protection under Section 230 if they meet high standards of neutrality, transparency, fairness, and non-discrimination. We should require these platforms to increase their efforts to take down unlawful content such as child exploitation and promoting terrorism while dramatically curtailing their power to arbitrarily restrict lawful speech. Fourth, we need to break up the entire toxic censorship industry that has arisen under the false guise of tackling so-called mis and disinformation. The federal government should immediately stop funding all nonprofits and academic programs that support this authoritarian project. If any U.S. university is discovered to have engaged in censorship activities or election interferences in the past, such as flagging social media content for removal of blacklisting, those universities should lose federal research dollars and federal student loan support for a period of 5 years and maybe more. We should also enact new laws laying out clear criminal penalties for federal bureaucrats who partner with private entities to do an end run around the Constitution and deprive Americans of their First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights. In other words, deprive them of their vote. And once you lose those elections, and once you lose your borders like we have, you no longer have a country. Furthermore, to confront the problems of major platforms being infiltrated by legions of former deep staters and intelligence officials, there should be a 7-year calling off period before any employee of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DNI, DHS, or DOD is allowed to take a job at a company possessing vast quantities of U.S. user data. Fifth, the time has finally come for Congress to pass a digital bill of rights. This should include a right to digital due process. In other words, government officials should need a court order to take down online content, not send information requests such as the FBI was sending to Twitter. Furthermore, when users of big online platforms have their content or accounts removed, throttled, shadow banned, or otherwise restricted, no matter what name they use, they should have the right to be informed that it's happening, the right to a specific explanation of the reason why, and the right to a timely appeal. In addition, all users over the age of 18 should have the right to opt out of content moderation and curation entirely and receive an unmanipulated stream of information if they so choose. The fight for free speech is a matter of victory or death for America and for the survival of Western civilization itself. When I am president, this whole rotten system of censorship and information control will be ripped out of the system at large. There won't be anything left. By restoring free speech, we'll begin to reclaim our democracy and save our nation. Thank you, and God bless America.
Oh, well, God bless you, President Trump. I got...
Anyway, that I put my teaching together, and I found that after I put it together, and I went, "Oh my goodness, that is incredible." Because right now in England, there's people literally. Well, England let criminals out of prisons so they could arrest other people. In England, they can go back and find something you put on Facebook 3 years ago, and they can put you in jail. There's people right now serving prison sentences in England because they posted something that the government doesn't like. And, yeah, and people are, you know, one of the differences between the United States and other countries, like if you go to China or you go to certain totalitarian countries, those people there, they know their news is propaganda. In America, we're just now beginning to realize our news has been propaganda. Let's see. Some of this stuff I wrote down, I don't know if I'm going to get into. Let's take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. I put something on the internet a month or two ago, and I made the statement, I don't have it written down, but basically I said something about every time somebody is censored and their free speech is shut down, we are all harmed. We are all damaged. The entire human community is damaged whenever that happens. It's always wrong. And there's certain things you do need that you don't want people putting child pornography on the internet. I mean, that's wrong. There's certain things like that that do need to be shut down because they're protecting children and things like that. But people should, you know, there was when we had that stupid plandemic and they had that disease. First of all, they came out with that story that they said, oh, it came from a wet market and somebody bought a bat. And, you know, I knew that was a false story right off the bat. It had all the earmarks of propaganda. And then they came out and they said, oh, this vaccine is safe and effective. And those were two lies. And if you come out and say things against that, they, you know, I got, there was times I got kicked off of Facebook for 30 days. And I'm sure my account is throttled back. And it, you go searching and it won't come up in the search engine. Because, but the thing is though, that was what I said was true. And if you go and say, you know, global warming is a hoax, or if you say the election in 2020 was cheated, they'll throttle back your account, they'll ban you, they'll fact check you, and all this other stuff. It's wrong. And you know, it's interesting. You don't see, like in the Bible here, you don't see where the people moving the Word of God were banning and censoring those that were telling lies. It's those that tell lies that have to ban the truth. So let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake, well, what happened, this is right after, there was a man that was lame. Well, first of all, in chapter 2, we had the day of Pentecost. And thousands of people got born again and spoke in tongues. And then in chapter 3, there was a certain, chapter 3, verse 2, there was a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb and was carried and laid daily, and he would beg. In verse 3, and verse 4, they fastened, verse 6 I want to get to. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The guy was, his ankles and his leg bones were not, there was something wrong with him. I don't know what the exact medical condition was. It doesn't matter. But he got healed and he was leaping around and praising God. And the religious leaders in Jerusalem at the time didn't like it. They were telling lies that Christ was, he was just some cult leader, and he wasn't the Messiah. So that's where we are. That's the background to chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. You'd think they'd be thankful. Where's their compassion? They had no compassion. People, the people in our day and time, they tell us socialism is compassionate. If you want to destroy a country and you want to murder thousands of people and you want to cause mass suffering, you institute socialism. It's not compassionate. But they weren't compassionate here in verse 2. They were grieved. And I got a note. They were exasperated. They were very upset that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. In verse 3, and they laid hands on them, they arrested them, they seized them, and put them into a hold. They threw them in jail. Verse 4, howbeit that many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow, the rulers and the elders and the scribes, and Annas, the high priest. I think that's how it's pronounced. I think he was a real ass. No, it's Annas, but I call him Annas. And Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all these evil leaders were of the kindred of the high priest together at Jerusalem. Verse 7, when they had set them in the midst, they said, by what power and by what name have you done this? You have no right to do this. We're the religious leaders. Get back in your place. How dare you teach the name of Jesus? What's the matter with you guys? People should be coming to us for the truth. If they came to them for the truth, that guy still would never got healed. He'd still be in the street with crippled and begging. They have no truth. All they had was a hollow, empty vessel that was filled with evil. And they use the word to hurt people rather than to help people. In verse 8, I love this, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people, you elders of Israel, if we be this day examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, I can make a joke there, but I'm going to let that one go. By what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all that all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by which you builders. Jesus Christ was the cornerstone, the chief, he was the keystone. It's interesting how Trump won the election. He's when he won Pennsylvania. That basically gave it to him. I know Wisconsin actually put him over the top. But once he won Pennsylvania, that gave it to him. And Pennsylvania is called the Keystone State. You can build, you can take a bunch of stones, you can make an arch, and it won't hold up till you put the keystone in. When you put the keystone in, the whole arch holds up. You can take the Word of God, you can know the Old Testament. You can know the Book of Revelation, you can know the Gospels, you can know the Epistle, you can memorize Scriptures. You can quote Psalms and Proverbs, but until you put the keystone in, which is Jesus Christ, and put him in his proper place in the Word, it's just going to fall apart and it's useless. It'll crumble into nothing. Jesus Christ is the stone which they cast aside. They set it not. Another way could be, another translation could say, you treated it contemptuously. Of you builders, which has become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other. This is the only way to salvation. You know, there's a ministry I used to belong to that's going around teaching, oh, you got to have a relationship with Jesus. No, we got to have a relationship with the Father. Jesus Christ made it available. He gave us full access to the Father. He gave us, through him, God is able to give us salvation. For there is none other name under heaven, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they never went to theological seminary. They didn't study, you know, they weren't biblical research guys. They didn't know all the Greek words, and they didn't know, they were just average people. They were fishermen, and they just were working people, middle class people, ordinary people doing ordinary jobs, but they had the Spirit of God in them. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. Verse 17. But that it spread no further, let's censor this. Anybody that puts this on Facebook, we'll put it down in the mix. When you search it in Google, it won't come up. See, that's what they do nowadays. And it's just as evil. It's the devil spirit kingdom is behind censorship. No, what they really said here was that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them. See, that's what they're doing in the UK right now. If you say the wrong thing, they threaten you and they'll put you in jail. They let the real criminals out and put these guys in. You know what they want to do in freaking Denver, Colorado? That evil governor, what does Trump call? Trump calls him chicken shit. And that evil And then we got an evil mayor in Denver. They want to make illegal aliens police officers.
Oh, jeez.
You can't make this stuff up. It's just evil. So, yeah, so let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. We want to shut that speech down. We want to censor it. We want to stop it. Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you rather than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak and see the things which we have seen and heard. See, everybody, every human on the face of the earth, it's available for each one of us to have a unique and special relationship with God. To the end, it's like God is your best friend and you're God's favorite human on the whole earth. Each person has that relationship available to them. And we can go on, we have the right and the responsibility to talk about that. Yeah, through Jesus Christ, amazing things have happened in my life. We can go and we can say that, and we can live that, and we have the right to say what we think and talk about it. But the devil wants to take that away, you know, and he's starting in the political realm, but politics is just it's another religion. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Same book here. Flip over a few pages. Or maybe a page. One page in my Bible. Chapter 5, verse 12. And these guys are going to pull the same stuff again. You know, if you study the Bible and you look at culture, you see the devil, he's only got so many tricks. He keeps pulling the same things over and over again. Verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join themselves unto them, but the people magnifying them. Sometimes King James can just word things really weird. And here, this is what I want to get to. Verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and lay them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. So people were literally getting healed because somebody, an apostle would walk by and his shadow would be cast on that person. And you would think the religious leaders would be thankful. You know what? If somebody down the street gets healed at the local Catholic church or Baptist church or whatever church, I'm going to praise God. I'm not going to get mad and say, well, it didn't happen in my home fellowship, so I don't like it. Well, you know what? God works. I'm not the only person God works in. God can work in every single Christian. He can work in all of us. It's interesting. There's a wonderful man that I'm in contact with, and you've heard those stories about Camp Lejeune. This guy is a veteran, and he was literally at Camp Lejeune, and he's got some terrible diseases going on in his life. And periodically, he calls us, and Diane and I, we minister to him, and we pray for him. And it took him forever to get his disability from the government because the government was negligent at Camp Lejeune. They just put any old crap in the drinking water and people drank it and got now having all sorts of health problems. Well, he finally got a disability, and with his disability, he got some back disability. And so the first thing, you know, he did when he got this lump of money is he wanted to give and help people. Well, God bless this guy. You know, he's just an amazing man. So he gave some to the local church. You know, I'm not all offended that the local church got it and I didn't. You know, I'm just glad he gave to somebody. You know, if you make money, You should give somebody some money. Well, anyway, he gave some money to the local church, and he gave him $1,000. And it turns out they had a woman going to that church who was on probation, and she lost her apartment, and she needed $1,000 to get an apartment. So that church gave the whole $1,000 to that woman so she wouldn't be in violation of parole, and she wouldn't have to go back to prison, but that she could keep going to that church and she would have a place to live. And that's just an amazing story. And, you know, and that's the heart to give. And that each one of us has the heart to give. You know, people call me and they want to be, you know, they have a sickness or something and they want to be prayed for. So Diane and I, we have a heart to give, and we'll pray for people and we help people. You know, we can't fix everything, but we fix what we can. So, where was I?
Verse 16,
yeah. So, yeah, they were healed, every one, and were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed with every one. That's, you know, there are, believers can get possessed. There's a fellowship I went to years ago, and they said, well, it's impossible for a Christian to get possessed. Well, people can get possessed. And it's not something to be ashamed of, and when you have problems, it's either a physical problem or it can be a spiritual problem. Then they can both be delivered. They all got delivered there, every one. Verse 17. And then the high priest rose up. That must be that guy Annas again. He was a real ass. And all that were with him. And they were the sect of the Sadducees. And we all know the Sadducees were... they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they were sad that they were teaching that Jesus was raised from the dead. And they were filled with indignation or envy. They're envious. You know, these guys had no training. They didn't go through the proper channels to get ordained. But yet they're healing people. And these religious leaders, they had nothing to give. There's another place in the Bible where it says Jesus looked at him and said, you guys have the keys to the kingdom. You don't enter in yourself, and you hinder other people from entering in. And there's other places he said, you're of your father, the devil. Yeah, that's what they're up against here. So, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. And the angel of the Lord opened the prison, brought them out, and said, go stand and speak. So let's skip down a few verses. Let's say, verse 25, then one told them, saying, behold, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. And they went out with the captains and the officers and brought them without violence. They had to do it real nice, because if they'd done violence to them, the people would have probably picked up stones and killed them. For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the priest said, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And you have filled, and that word filled, it's like filled to capacity. Every single person in Jerusalem had heard these stories. It was like, you know, it wasn't on the news. It wasn't in the newspaper. It was word of mouth. It got around. Everybody knew. Where was I? Did we not straight? Yeah. You have filled Jerusalem with his doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter said, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. See, God doesn't censor. Well, there will be a censoring, I guess, in the book of Revelation, when all the evil people that have resisted God and resisted, they'll get thrown in the lake of fire. But that's called justice. Verse 30. I think I'll stop at 29. basically goes on, he preaches a great sermon here, and then the guy Gamaliel is a Pharisee, and he says, you know, he said, you know, why don't you guys just leave these guys alone? Because if they're of nothing, it'll just, nothing will happen. But if they're of God, you don't want to be fighting against God. And I believe our founding fathers, well, I know our founding fathers, they were men that escaped Europe, because Europe was passing laws like you cannot deny the Trinity. You have to, there's only one state church, you have to go to that church. And they had laws like that, and our ancestors, they said, well, we don't want that. We're going to go to the New World. And they came over, and there was all sorts of different religions and different ethnic backgrounds and different groups, and we had one thing in common. We wanted to have free speech and the free exercise of religion. So censorship is wrong, and I'm really, really impressed with our president-elect, Donald Trump. And he's already, like I said before, he's already done more things in less than a week after being elected than most presidents do in 8 years. And I am really, really looking forward to taking back our country and beating down the devil spirit kingdom. And so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to open up for other people to talk. So, Father, I do thank you for the Word of God and for the truth. And then I also, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke censorship. I rebuke those that censor and those that continue to try. May they feel the full force of the federal government coming down against them. And may they get the just prosecution that they deserve, Father. And Father, just give us freedom of religion and freedom of speech and the right to defend ourselves, that these rights shall not be infringed. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Yeah, I was thinking,